Praise the Lord.
Whew. Still feels like death warmed over in this place today. We're going to save the last two songs for the end. I just feel the direction of the Lord. In this past year, we have, every one of us, pretty much, if not every one of us for sure, have faced some real struggles, some real trials. And it's easy in the midst of those trials to get disoriented and to lose our focus. How many know what I'm talking about? And we forget or we lose sight of the things that really bring joy into our lives. We lose sight of the fact that there are others around us that are going through struggles or have gone through struggles. We kind of lose sight of some of the things that God tells us in His Word. Now, let me go back and make a comment about what Donna said this morning. There was a little group of people. I don't remember if it was Kansas or where it was. They were in a little room. They had one little piano. I don't know what kind it was. It doesn't make any difference. They had just one little piano. And they began to sing. And with a recorder, I don't know what kind of a tape recorder it was, they were recording the songs. And when it was all over and said and done, and they played the tape back, it was the most beautiful sound you'd ever heard in your life. I got a chance to listen to that tape. And I'm telling you, there wasn't just a handful of people in that room. There was the choir, the host of heaven in that room. And people were saying that it's got to be doctored. It's got to be, somebody's done something to it. They had to do something to make it sound like that. And I'm telling you right now, you can't reproduce and you can't make something sound like that. And when they checked that tape, there had been no overlays on it. There had been no editing of the tape. That what was there was people who were in one accord, worshiping and praising God, giving God glory and honor, and lifting Him up and magnifying Him. How many know He is the answer?
Amen.
It doesn't make any difference what we face, what we're going through. He is the answer.
Amen.
I heard, I'm going to pray in just a second, but we were having a conversation, a couple of us men here recently, and I heard in the course of conversation that somebody was going through some of the same struggles or one of the same struggles that I was going through. You know, one of the hardest things to do is to build a fire in a wet blanket. How many know what I'm talking about? You know, the enemy wants us to lose our first love and to lose our zeal. And so attacks and things come. And sometimes we get underneath that load instead of just immediately casting our care on the Lord. And we begin to introvert rather than looking out and doing what God tells us to do, to pray one for another, to encourage one another. We get weary in well-doing, if you will. I can remember a time in my life when I kind of lost my zeal. I kind of lost sight of my first love. And I began to look back and I remembered the exuberance and the electrification that was in my life from God and the transformation that He made in my life. Being born again. Feeling that calling afresh from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. God never said we were going to have a bed of roses, but He said we were going to come through. Amen, with His help, as long as we keep our focus on Him. He told us not to be weary in well-doing. He gave us answers to tell us how to deal with the situations and the things that come in our lives. And what happens when these things come, as I said, is we get underneath those things and we lose sight of the important things. They're distractions. Y'all know what I'm talking about. God was dealing with me. Last night as I was at work, I mean, I began to hear some things. And I want to share some of those things with you this morning. You know, one of the things that happens when we get into a situation like that is, as I said, we kind of get, I don't mean to step on toes, but you understand my toes are being stepped on too. We get a little selfish. We lose sight of others and we start crying, woe is me. When once again we have answers. Your Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into that tower and they are safe. Amen?
Amen?
He tells us that no weapon formed against us will prosper. And if you look back, you came out pretty much unscathed. Am I right or am I wrong? Y'all know, I mean, it's been no secret some of the struggles and things that I've gone through this past year. But God's been faithful. He's come through. John 15, 12 through 13 says, stand with me. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your time, your presence here, for this time in your presence. Holy Spirit, once again, we thank you. You order my steps, declare my thoughts. Cause your word to go forth this morning. Cause the word of the Lord to go forth this morning. Touch lives, change lives. Send that zeal and that fire back to those who are weary. Remind us that we shouldn't be weary in well-doing. For in due season we'll reap if we faint not. Remind us that you've never failed us. You've never forsaken us. Remind us that you have the answers and you've given the answers and the promises in your word. Your promises in Jeremiah 29:11 to prosper us and not to harm us. To give us a hope and a future. Not to cause any harm to come to us. We thank you, Lord, for that. Now, Lord, we just give this time to you and we look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Do a work today. Let people not be the same as when they came in, as we declared already by our own voices. In Jesus' name we thank you and praise you. Amen.
Amen.
John 15, 12 and 13. It said, greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Or this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you, is verse 12. Sorry about that. And then greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. Anyway, as I began to think about, I was arrested by the thought and by the words that I heard come from this person who was speaking. And I was reminded of it. In fact, here was somebody who was going through the same struggle to some degree. Maybe not identical, but in the same realm, the same area. And God began to reveal to me that in my praying, that I sometimes miss that I need to be praying for y'all. And also, y'all need to be praying for me.
Amen.
See, you're only going to get out of this what you put into it. We get distracted with our struggles. We forget about those around us, those who are our family. I was reminded about what was said about the ones who saw someone in need. And instead of doing what was right, or if you will, like Peter did in the New Testament in Acts chapter 3, all they said is, go be warmed and filled, but they didn't do anything about it. Sometimes you may not have monetary means. Sometimes you may not have the things to give to people, but you have one ability that you need never forget about, and that is you have the ability to pray for others, to pray for their well-being, to pray for their needs to be met. And when you do that, what you do is you open the door for God's blessing to come in and be on you, and for your answer to come. The other way around borders very closely on selfishness. It's all about me. We know better than that in this house. And I'm not standing here telling you I'm innocent. I'm telling you God spoke to me, and now I'm giving to you what he spoke to me so that we can change this. That glory that Donna was talking about that rolled in there, that Shekinah glory, that cloud, that's the glory of God. Sometimes we hinder that glory, that because we get so laid down with what's going on around us that we just lose track of where we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to be doing. Are y'all with me?
Yep.
It's not about us. Again, you might not have exactly what somebody needs, but you have the ability to pray. And in so doing, you open the door for God once again to bless you, to meet your need as he meets the need of others. And you both get blessed. And then joy begins to well up inside. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know, I just can't see somebody who's full of joy and joy unspeakable who's dragged in the door. And then we sit and we sing a few songs. I'm telling you, I get excited when I see you folks. I love you guys. I love to see what God's doing in your life. I want to hear about it. I want to be a part of it. And part of that, being a part of it, is the making sure that I lift you before the Lord. There are times when God reminds me, just say, you know, you need to pray for this one, you need to pray for that one. And then what happens is I lose sight of me and my struggles. I see God do something in your life, and then I get built up, I get edified, and I get excited, and I get blessed because you got blessed. Watching God's hand move on your behalf, and the fact that I was able to be a part of that by taking the petition to the Lord in your behalf. Are you with me?
Yep.
When we lay our lives down to pray for others, when we ourselves are standing in the need of prayer, God pours out in our behalf as we ask Him on the other's behalf. Does that make any sense? James 2:15 through 17 talks about those who were, you know, when they the people came, and instead of giving them what they needed, they made no effort. They just said, go be warmed and filled. You know, in other words, I can't be bothered right now. I got my own deals. You know, have a nice life. And then I was reminded of another scripture that says that when you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. Talking about when somebody was hungry, when somebody was naked. There were those who didn't do it, and there were those who did it. And both times, God said, in them, as much as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to the least of my, done it, you know, to the least of my brethren, you've done it to me. No greater love. We just read that in John 15:12-13. No greater love has a man, has anyone, that he lays down his life for someone else. If God says, I will supply your all of your need according to my riches and glory, then we need to come to that place of maturity where we understand that that's what He means and that's what He will do. And if the truth be known, and if you examined, how many of you have never that God's hand has never moved in your life when you had a need or when something was down, that the answer didn't come? Don't all raise your hands at once. Has God failed any one of you?
Ever?
No.
Now, do you really mean that? Is that the truth?
Yes.
Well, then, praise the Lord. Now there's another step. If that's the case, then we need to remember that when the struggles come. And we don't want to get introverted, get caught up in the struggle. We want to make sure that we stay on top of it. Remember, when we give, it's given back to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And that's not just talking about money or monetary things. That's talking about giving of everything we have and everything we are. Giving your time, your talents. I can tell you the churches that I've seen go down the tube, in many cases, were when God called a group to be intercessors, as a group together, you know, even during the service. I can tell you, in fact, I can tell you firsthand experience. I went to a church in this city. They had a group of intercessors. Now, they didn't stop interceding. They were stopped. Because God was beginning to move, and some people were getting nervous. Some of the people who were standing up here. So they stopped it. And that church went right down the tube. The pastor was dethroned, or defrocked, whatever you want to call it, and was out on his ear. And that's when the church starts to fail. Weary in well-doing. Weary in well-doing. What does the Bible say about that? It says, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. If we understand it's not about us, then in the midst of our need, when we cry out on behalf of others, then we open the door for God to be able to bless us because we've laid down our lives for our friends, for our family. Are we not family here?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Maybe the reason you're having a little bit of a struggle is because you've lost sight of what's really important. And that's not accusation against you. That's saying, let's change and let's come back to where God wants us to be. Let's begin to see. Can I tell you what I believe? All of a sudden I was impressed as we were singing and as I was meditating this, even in the service this morning so far. I'm not sure that we're not facing the year of Jubilee.
Amen.
Oh, did you hear me? The year of Jubilee.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. The year of Jubilee. What is it, every 7 years? There was a year of Jubilee.
No, it's every 50 years.
Every 50 years. Anyway, that's where all debts were forgiven. And it's where, you know, I mean, people were freed.
If you sold your land to
the pay your debt or whatever, it would come back to you.
There you go.
It's a restoring.
Praise the Lord. How many know the Bible talks about that the years that the cankerworm and the locust have eaten, God will restore, and that your latter days will be greater than your former days?
Amen.
I don't know about y'all, the joy of the Lord's beginning to bubble inside me as I'm talking about this. If we say we love one another and we don't take the time to do what is necessary for one another, that's empty. Right? That's empty. So when we start praying for one another, that means we're giving of our time, we're giving of our efforts, and we're pushing aside what's going on in our life to see the benefit and the effect and the blessing of God flow in one another's lives. And I'm here to tell you, when you give, it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Amen? Men and God will give back to you. God will see to it that you get it back and that you're taken care of. Jesus laid down his life for the Father's will for all of us. That was the plan God devised. And what do we get out of the deal? We got every sin, sickness, disease, heartache, malady taken away from us. And we got given back life and that more abundantly. Amen? Jesus didn't remain down there in the grave. He rose again. He made an open show and a mockery of the devil. He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave and the authority that he had. And he restored dominion to his man. Praise the Lord. Woohoo! I'm waiting for the day when we get so excited about the Word of God and so excited about coming into this place that we walk in the door and it's all we can do to keep from having a Holy Ghost fit.
Yeah, that's right.
If you've never seen that, that's something to see. I'll tell you what.
Amen.
Matthew 6:31-33 talks about take no thought. I'm going to turn to that real quickly. Matthew 6:31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows what you have need of, that you have need of these things. But he reminds us in 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all of these things will be added unto you.
Amen.
How many of you know the old proverb about putting the cart before the horse? Guilty. By the way, in Matthew 25:40 is where it talks about, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Again, when churches fail, it's not because of money. Money may be a byproduct of the church failing, but what's really happening is a heart issue or something that's wrong in the church. How many know when you're praying, when you're seeking God, when you're in His presence, you can't get caught up in the nonsense? You stay focused. You stay right there where you can see and God can reveal things to you. We get a little off track is when, instead of having blinders on, we don't have blinders on, by which I'm talking about the Word now, and we get a little distracted by things around us. Sometimes we need to have that old carrot dangled out in front of us so we keep going the way we're supposed to go. You know what I'm talking about? The old horse? I don't know about you, I get just as excited seeing God bless you and meet your needs and fix the things that are attacks in your life that the enemy is trying to use against you. You know, we got to get it down, folks, that those attacks are not against you personally. It's an attack against God and His Word. The devil's going to try to prove to you that God's Word will fail, that God is not in control, and he'll do everything and anything he can to do that. But what do we know about him?
Liars.
That's right. The father of all lies, and he's never spoken the truth. Never, ever. Not one time. James 4:17 says, when you know to do good and do not do it, then it's sin. Now, I don't know about you. We talked about just a week or so ago about choosing life. I've set before you this day blessing and cursing, life and death. Choose life. How do you do that? It's by operating in everything that's in His Word, operating on every word that proceeds out of His mouth, every word that He's commanded you, every promise. Amen? When we remember to pray for others, then we get caught up in that. And God moves to meet both needs, yours and the one you're lifting up. I had two for the price of one, man. Can't beat that with a stick. Once again, if you have an issue with your pastor or something's wrong, might be because you're not praying. Galatians 6:9 and 2 Thessalonians 3:13 talk about not being weary in well-doing. One of the things that happens when you lose yourself in seeking God and praying to God for others is you get a supernatural direction or an answer for what's needed in your life. Amen? Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Acts 3:6 talks about Peter, and Peter said to the lame man, when he was begging for alms, he looked at him and said, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And then when everybody got all excited about that and they started trying to uplift Peter, Peter said, "Wait a minute. I did nothing. It's not me. It's the name and faith in that name, the character of that name that made this man whole." You got Jesus in you? I remember an old song. "I've got Jesus and that's enough. That's enough." Do I need to say that again? When you got Jesus, that's enough. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Him is every answer that you'll ever need. In Him are all the promises, which are what? Yes, and so be it.
Amen.
I remember Stan saying years ago when we first started this, when I first met him, I remember him talking about the fact we go out and we pray about our needs. We pray, "God, this is the money that I need. Bring this money in." Fastest I've ever seen God move in my life is when I started praying, "God, send an abundance so that I can not only see my need met, but I can see the need of somebody else met, so that I can give to somebody else so their need can be met too." We're short-sighted. One of the things we struggle with as human beings is there's too much of us in our lives. Too much of me. You know what I'm talking about? I'm reminded of what Galatians 2:20 says. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But it's not me. It's Christ who lives in me, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And this life that I'm living right now, I live by the faith of the Son of God, because He loved me and gave Himself for me." And that's what we need to do. We need to lay down our lives and love one another enough to lose sight of our needs for a moment and look to the needs of the other person. I need to be constantly in prayer for y'all. We all go through struggles. We all go through things. We've gone through things this last year. You may be in a struggle right now. I happen to know a couple of you are. I can remember an old song ringing in my ears right now again. "Christ is the answer. Christ is the answer." Hallelujah. His promises, His word cannot fail. So if you're seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then you're seeking the way He would seek, and that is for others, not considering yourself. But in the fact that you do that, according to Matthew 6:33, you're seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all of these other things will be added to you because you've given your life for somebody else. You've not considered where you're at. Think about that little widow. She had just enough meal and just enough oil to make a cake. She said, "This is it. We'll make one last meal and then we'll die." I believe it was a prophet said, make it for us, or a disciple said, make a cake for us first. She did that, and what happened? She never ran out of meal and she never ran out of oil. Whew. She considered the other first, and then God supernaturally. What about when they were all gathered together and Jesus had been ministering? The day was late. These people need to eat. They're tired. They're hungry. What do you got? 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The disciples thought, "Well, we need to go and buy some." Bless our darling hearts and mixed up minds. Jesus said, "No, what do you got?" He took it. He blessed it. And in blessing it, it multiplied. They have 12 baskets of fragments left over. two loaves and five fishes, or five loaves and two fishes, whatever it was. Okay, I'm forgive my dyslexicness. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about. See, you guys know the word. But these distractions come. You know the Bible says in Song of Solomon, the little foxes. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little distractions, little annoyances, and little things that go on in our lives. You know? You ever notice it's not the big things that tend to pull us off? Oh, they may look big to us for a minute or two. I'm reminded of Jerry Savelle talking about the armor of God. And you've heard me say this too. I didn't come up with it. Jerry did, but I'm telling you, it's powerful. That the shield of faith, says, quenches all the fiery darts of the enemy. And that's not adequate. That doesn't paint the right picture. What that means is those old fiery darts come, or those missiles come at you. Again, the shield of faith reaches out, grabs them violently, extinguishes them, and then violently throws them to the ground. Once in a while, the enemy tries to throw a missile at you. Your armor's chinked, and you think, whew, man, we made it through that. That last little dart, you know, that was headed for you has been deflected. And now all of a sudden you look up, and dear God, here comes a missile. And the first thing you think is, I'm going down for the count. This is it. I'm done. How many know that faith or hope and faith don't make ashamed? Amen. Amen.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We need to be constantly aware of one another. If we're a family, we can't just be in our own little world. A family rallies around. Amen? We're there for one another. And that doesn't necessarily mean camping on somebody's doorstep, but yet we are spiritually. If we're praying for them, if we're lifting them up, seeking God for their needs to be met, we need to consider them or others more than we consider ourselves. And in so doing, I believe the word's very clear, the picture's very clear. We open the windows of blessing, not only for the other person, but we open the windows of blessing for ourselves. To receive answers, receive the wisdom and the insight in the situation or circumstance we're going through at the moment. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And if that's the case, and we're seeing God move, and God's never failed us, then why so downcast, O my soul? We're commanded, put your hope in God. Put your trust in God. We go along, we get great blessings, and the next thing something happens, and all of a sudden we're down in the mully grubs. We've lost the victory. Another message Jerry Savelle preached, it says that the devil can't steal your joy, he can't keep your goods. Not only that, you remember that the Bible says if the thief be found out, think about this for a minute. If the thief be found out, he must restore sevenfold out of the goods of his house. You won't just get by, just get your little need met, or you want a sevenfold blessing in return.
Sevenfold. Amen.
I don't know if I do the math, the latter seems better than the former. You with me?
Yes.
Yeah. Hallelujah. And when you start doing that, that'll cause that anticipation of the inevitable supernatural intervention of God to rise up in you, where you don't even blink an eye anymore. You don't even blink an eye. You just know, I'm praying for somebody, the blessings are coming on them, and in so doing, you turn around, and all of a sudden, your need, your blessing is there also. Amen? It's not about us, folks. It's about others. It's about God and God's will and God's kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. So we need to go to Him and thank Him every day for those around us, for meeting our needs, but for meeting the needs of others. And when we see somebody, you know, your Bible says, if you see a brother taken in fault, restore such an one. It also says, confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another. That word faults doesn't mean, you know, all your shortcomings and things like that. That means everything in your life. Because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man does what? Avails much. Amen. And when you start grasping hold of that, you can't go someplace or you can't come walk around, you know, with your face hanging down and in the mully grubs and, you know, oh, woe is me. You got the exuberance and the excitement of the Lord. Amen? When you're facing what looks like what, you know, what the world would call inevitable gloom and doom, you're going down for the count. You got all the bombardment of all the foolishness of this world, the courts, the lawyers, the doctors, all of them coming in and giving you bad reports and things like that. You see things going on. Maybe it's your son or daughter who's about ready to face a divorce. You're facing not knowing where your next meal's coming from or where your rent's coming from because all of a sudden you don't have a job. The flow is gone. What do? That's the only thing you can do. Run into the Lord. Call upon Him in the time of trouble, and He will show you what?
Great and mighty things.
That you don't even know.
Amen.
That you haven't even considered. And all of a sudden you turn around. I've heard the testimonies from some of you, just like myself. You didn't miss one meal. Supernaturally, the money came in, or the need was met. Somebody came and dropped a bag or a basket full of groceries or a box full of groceries at your door. How do you expect God to use you if all you think about is you? And this is not, again, this is not an attack against anybody. This is so we can grow and go on and be what we need to be and what God wants us to be. Operate in the power that He has for us. How many want that?
Amen.
I want to operate in that power. I want to operate in that power. Part of seeing the glory of God ushered in is when we operate in His Word to the best of our ability with what we have right at this moment. And when we give Him all praise and all honor and glory. We don't hold back. Do you realize when you hold back, God doesn't have the ability to really bless you the way He wants to? How many remember? Most of you may not have been here when Stan preached a sermon about handcuffing God. Here's the Almighty God of the universe, Creator of heaven and earth. And you have the ability to handcuff God. Stop His blessings. Stop the flow. You do. Well, now you've got to stop and consider that for a minute. Are you stopping the flow of God's blessing today? Or is God's blessing flowing in your life? And if they are, where's the joy of the Lord? Why aren't you giving God praise? Why aren't you dancing and shouting? And I realized, please, I'm not putting law down here, folks, but I'm saying, man, you know, again, emotions are not right or wrong. It's what you do with the emotions. But if you want to get emotional about God.
Amen?
Amen? Get emotional about God. Get excited about God. That's where your help is. That's where your safety is. That's where your peace is. Amen? Praise the Lord. I don't know if this means anything to anybody, but I'm telling you, I feel released this morning.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You know, I'm excited about God, you know, with all the things. I've got victory. I've got joy. My focus and my attention's on Him. Now I'm going to obey Him, and I'm going to start really pressing in areas that I need to press in. It's not that I don't pray for y'all, but God's requiring a little bit more right now. Amen? And I can promise you, if He's talking to me, He's talking to you too. Amen? Amen. What a concept. Praise the Lord. Let's sing these last songs with what we have received from the Lord this morning. And as we do that,